Hi, this is John Stone from 10,000 Blades, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org. All the best of food and drink, a glass of wine, a smile, a wink. Don't have a cow, don't make a stink, it's Lucy and the kitchen sink.
Hey, New Haveners, and welcome back to another episode of Kitchen Sink. I'm your host, Lucy Gelman, and today I'm here with Laura Hurwitz, who is the founder, baker, mastermind behind Jake's Mom's Cookies.
Oh, that makes me sound so cool. Yeah. Mastermind. I like to think
Grand
of myself.
Poobah of Jake's Mom's Cookies. I don't know. But a very cool and pretty new company. It's a small business.
Yes, it's a very small business. Very, very small. And I have one product, which I think at some point I'm going to find a little bit limiting. But for now, I mean, chocolate chip cookies specifically are what I make. And I've learned to make them well over the last 30 years. And I pretty much suck at other stuff.
Oh, I highly doubt that. I really have trouble believing that. But I want to back up and sort of get into all of these different elements, because you're a cheerleader for New Haven, which I really love. You're a mom, you're an educator, you're also a writer, and you're a baker.
Yeah, I'm a dilettante.
and so all of these elements of your life kind of have crisscrossed in really interesting ways. But one thing that I wanted to start with was when we were talking actually at the coffee, I almost said test kitchen. It's not a test kitchen, but it's sort of the baker space.
Yeah,
baker space.
Yeah. It's like their commercial kitchen.
Yes, thank you. Those words. When we were talking there, one thing you said to me was during your childhood, you actually didn't bake a lot, but you ate a lot of cookies, but you had a very specific way in which the cookies were chosen. And so I'm wondering if we can start there.
Okay. Well, my mom was always on a budget. So what she loved to do, no, she didn't love to do it. She just out of necessity, I have two siblings, and she would allow one kid a week to pick the cookies for the week.
Which I love that. And was this as long as you can remember as a kid?
Yeah, pretty much. I can't remember ever being told, oh, have two cookies, or we'll get a variety of cookies, or I'm going to make you some cookies. It was always, this week we're having Fig Newtons, which was always a depressing week, actually.
Wait, and so who chose Fig Newtons?
I think it was my brother, and he liked them because they were chewy.
Oh, interesting. I should also tell listeners, I don't know some of your family members, but I do know your sister, Suzanne. I actually worked with her very closely for 2 years. And I know the Jake after whom these cookies are named. So we'll get into that as well. But, cool. Okay, so your brother chose the sucky cookies.
He did. He pretty much did. Though Suzanne sometimes could be really disappointing, because she is probably one of the few people in the world who liked Nilla wafers.
I liked Nilla wafers.
Sorry. Don't mean to offend. But,
no.
I mean, they are a little bit, once you've had, like, a couple, it's like
you're done. Yeah, they're kind of like vanilla-y cardboard a little bit. They're not especially good.
That's right. It's like the people who love Necco wafers or Swedish fish. It's like, why? Because it's the same flavor over and over and over and over again. And with Oreos, like, you could get a really creamy bite. You could have the edge of the cookie. You could take the top off and eat the cream. I mean, like, I don't know, for me, cookies were this like wonderful pleasure. And if you were limited to this one brand a week, you had to make it good. And my brother and sister would sometimes not.
Okay, so let's get into what cookies you like. So you mentioned Oreos.
Yes.
Which I don't think I've ever heard someone wax so poetic about Oreos. I've heard some like pretty rave reviews of Oreos, and every year I feel like there's an Oreo challenge of some sort.
When
they come out with, because usually Oreos come out with some abomination like a candy corn Oreo.
Yeah, you're right. Something seasonal or right. candy cane
or pumpkin candy cane.
Right.
But for you, just the standard. Kind of black and white.
Just a standard, you know, chocolate outside, creamy vanilla, whatever, sugar, sugar shortening on the inside. Yeah. I really did love Oreos. For some reason, I still don't quite understand. My mother would not let us get Mallow Mars.
Really?
And that was kind of like my dream cookie, but it's because there aren't a lot in the pack.
Oh.
So if you're portioning them out, you could get like a quarter of a Malamar,
right?
And where you would have like one entire Oreo.
Did you ever speak with? Because I know your mother has since passed away. Did you ever talk to her about either about Malamars or about this cookie? Sort of like the idea behind having a kid pick a cookie every week. Because I kind of love it.
I mean, I love it too. I do, and I never talked to her about it. But it so went with everything that my mom was about. You know, she just, she didn't waste anything. I think it's, you know, she lived through, the Depression. Mm-hmm. And, she, like, you'd open up a drawer in our house and it'd be filled with, like, string and old pieces of tinfoil. And she'd always find a use for those things.
Yeah.
Those little things you used to tie baggies mm-hmm. with. She must have had a million of them. Almost no joke. It's almost not hyperbole. When we packed up her house, I opened a drawer and it just blew my mind.
Yeah, that sounds like my mom's mom used to reuse scotch tape.
My so mom, yeah, she did.
She would say, don't throw it away.
It's still good.
Yeah, it's still good, exactly.
Boiling stamps off of envelopes. I mean, there were
I don't know.
She if it didn't have too much of a postmark.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, so Oreos. And you also mentioned Chips Ahoy to me last week.
Yes. I love Chips Ahoy. I love the classic Chips Ahoy that's, you know, kind of crunchy, which is kind of interesting because my cookie is not crunchy. It would be more like a soft Chips Ahoy, except without all the preservatives and that strange aftertaste. And my cookies are, you know, dense and rich, whereas the soft Chips Ahoy are just soft. So I hope the Chips Ahoy people aren't going to get mad.
I highly doubt it. That would be a news story in and of itself.
You're right.
Chips Ahoy run after New Haven Mother or New Haven Baker. Yeah. But then going out of childhood or moving out of childhood into adulthood yourself, when did you start making these cookies?
I think it was around the time I got married. And I'm trying to remember why I started making them. I think it was just kind of the novelty of having my own kitchen and being able to do what I wanted and not having the cookie a week mandate.
And you grew up in the New Haven area, but then you moved away for a long time, right?
Yeah, for a little while. I went to Yale.
Okay.
And then we lived in California. My husband and I lived in California while he was in law school, so we were in Palo Alto, and I baked cookies in Palo Alto. That was also, I think I just sort of kept it going, but I got married ridiculously young. I was 20. I was a junior in college.
And you were still in college, and was your husband, had he graduated or was
yes he? And okay. He was this is a little strange thing about my husband. He went to medical school at Columbia. We lived in New York during that period of time. But then he decided he didn't want to be a doctor, ergo, law school. Yeah, so that's what happened. But I kind of baked steadily throughout. I think because I had kind of a high-pressure job, it just was nice to come home and do something that felt warm and comforting. And I loved handling the dough.
And tell me a little more about, because I am very much like that. I love like baking and cooking and also anything that sort of is a blowing off steam activity when I'm not working. So tell me a little bit about the pressures or stresses that you were experiencing during the day at work.
Okay. I had a strange job. I was a model. So I was a model at an agency in New York called Ford's for the entire time Sam was in medical school, and I quit when we moved to California. But one thing models have to do day in and day out, when you're not actually working a modeling job, you go around on what they used to call go-sees, where you would go from magazine to advertising agency, and you basically competed for jobs. So I would say maybe 3 days a week I had an actual place to go to where I knew I was going to get paid and I knew that a photo shoot was happening. And then those other days I would often find myself walking around New York City, trying for jobs, often getting rejected. It was a lot of uncertainty and I was on my feet a lot and going from one appointment to another appointment. So coming home, it just felt so good to take off like my work shoes, which were, I think it was the late 70s. So everyone was wearing these like pointy stiletto things.
To walk around Manhattan. That just makes my feet hurt hearing it.
You should look at my feet, tell the story of those years. Cowboy boots were also really big, also pointy toes. So, apparently there was a model in the 70s who removed her second toe just so she could fit into her pointy toed shoes better.
Wow.
That might have been an urban myth, but yeah. But it just felt like I would come home and I'd, you know, just get into my pajamas like at 6 o'clock at night.
Sounds familiar.
And just, you know, fire up the oven. And a lot of times when Sam was in med school, he had his surgical rotations and he wouldn't be home. So
right.
It was me and the stove and cookies or whatever I would whip up. I tried to, in those days I would like try pudding, I would make cupcakes. I just liked making sweets.
And when did the chocolate chip cookies specifically, like when did those stick?
I think it was when my kids were young.
Okay.
Because I just kind of ate what I made before, like, you know, before I had kids. And then I just started like thinking, I make these all the time. I want to make them as good as they possibly can be. So I just kept tinkering with different proportions of ingredients and oven temperatures and ingredients themselves. And I landed on this one, which the consensus was I did it.
And you're particularly faithful to one recipe, right?
Yeah,
and the Nestle.
I'm faithful to their chips, tweaked the recipe.
Right.
Has the same ingredients.
Yeah.
I would say that, but very different proportions, and not quite the same ingredients.
So I can't help but thinking about there's this episode of Friends. Where
I have never watched Friends.
So where one of the characters says, this was an old chocolate chip cookie recipe from my friend's great grandmother, and someone says, what was the name of your friend's great grandmother? The cookies are amazing. And the person says, Nestlé Toulouse. And of course it's Nestlé Toulouse. and it's a kind of a very, I find most of the jokes, you know, pretty flat and like stuck in maybe the 1990s, but that I find very funny. But was that like, so when one is a parent or just very busy or a very busy parent, you don't have that much time. And so did starting the recipe come out of seeing it, you know, maybe on the back of the
absolutely
the cookie package.
That was the
chip package.
That was the genesis of it. Totally, I looked at that and I thought, oh, I have all that stuff.
Yeah.
I can make it, and I made it. And It frankly was a little disappointing. I'm sorry, Nestle's, because I love you, but they get very, very flat. And I think that might be because I think there's a little too little flour and a little too much butter.
Oh, interesting.
And another little baking secret, margarine really does melt better than butter. It just does.
And do you melt butter? Because I know that in cookie recipes, there are like a million different things to do. And some say cream the butter, like let the butter soften, but then cream it with the sugar. But do you melt yours?
No, actually, I'd cream it. So I would let it sit out for a couple of hours, okay, and it would get soft. But with margarine, you don't have to do that. And I'm pretty also faithful to my margarine brand.
Right.
Because Fleischmann's is what my mother-in-law, Dori Hurwitz, who was probably the best cook I've ever known. She was just like sensational all across the board. I mean, her desserts were wonderful. Her meals, I mean, my kids still talk about it. And she passed away many years ago. But she always had this reverence for Fleischmann's. And I could never really understand it. I just thought margarine's margarine, like, you know, Blue Bonnet, whatever, who cares? But while I was starting this business, I went to Restaurant Depot and I got like a huge, like 50 pound thing of margarine, you know, just cheap margarine.
Oh, so not Fleischmann's.
Not Fleischmann's. Like, I thought that's it. Because I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to make like a bunch of cookies and this will be really, you know, great for my profit margin. And I tried one batch using their margarine. I was really inedible. I threw it out. It was really bad. Fleischmann's, I know that it's like zero trans fat and no cholesterol, and it's got some good things going on for it, but it also, the consistency is just perfect.
Mm.
And the taste is great. It does, no aftertaste. It doesn't taste like chemicals. It's just a very pure margarine. And I use the unsalted. I had to test that a little bit too.
And you, so with baking, I also know that you maybe were planning to be a mom, but you weren't specifically planning to have a lot of kids.
No. The plan was to have three.
Okay.
And I was working at Yale. When we moved back to New Haven, I worked at the admissions office at Yale, and I loved that job. It was a great job. And when I had two young kids, I kept working at the admissions office, and then we were trying to have the third child, and it was just not going completely smoothly, and we had to get, you know, a little medical intervention. So I went to an endocrinologist and he put me on a drug, a fertility drug called Perganol. I don't even know if they use it anymore, but he assured me that all that would happen with Perganol is a single baby. You know, he said, I'm monitoring the egg situation. You'll only have one. And that did not happen. We had triplets.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty surprising. So I went from being a mother of two to a mother of five in a year. And we had also just moved from Hamden to Bethany to an old farmhouse that needed rehabbing.
Oh my gosh. That's like the go big or go home philosophy, right?
That's it. So yeah, it was a strange year. But I ended up, I had to take a leave of absence, and then I realized there's like no going back with five kids. It just isn't going to happen. So yeah, I was home a lot. And I think that one of the things I really enjoyed doing was baking. It was something that you could do with everybody home. The kids could get involved. They kind of enjoyed it. And the house always smelled good.
And it's fun to, so I don't have kids, but I have friends who have kids, and it's fun to do an activity where sort of everyone's helping out, even though it can get messy. I know.
Yeah, it can get really messy. And I think when you have five kids, you like give up the neatness thing.
Yeah.
It just goes out the window.
And so I know that your cookies achieved, like long before this business was sort of ever in the works, they achieved minor fame within family and friend circles. So I'm wondering if you can tell me and our listeners a little about about that?
Well, okay, we lived in Spring Glen, in the Spring Glen section of Hamden, and I had a cookie jar that I would leave in the kitchen. And I also have a tendency, or I had a tendency at the time, not to lock my doors. And neighbors would, they knew where the cookie jar was. They could smell when the cookies were baking. And we had several neighbors just come in the back door when no one was home, you know, put their hand in that jar, grab a cookie, run out.
That is so funny. It,
yeah, and a lot of them would talk about it like years later. They would say, "You didn't know this, but."
And did you, like, did you play dumb, or did you say, like, "Oh, actually, I did know"?
Well, I didn't know the extent, so I not only, I was kind of dumb, yeah. Not only playing dumb, I really didn't know. My father would come in every day to take two cookies.
And they lived close by.
They lived close by, and he would always overtly take one cookie and eat it, but then he would take a second cookie and put it in his pocket.
And he wore khakis, right?
And he wore khakis, and you can imagine, like,
right.
Yeah, the khakis, you just knew that those were my dad's pants, because they just have this, like, chocolate or, you know, big butter stain on the front of the front pocket. And after a while, I started giving him plastic bags to make it easier on my mom when she was doing the laundry.
Was she a cookie, like, did she have a sweet tooth as well?
She liked pumpkin pie. That was...
But not cookies.
No, oh, not wow. at all. And she... I mean, she would eat cookies, but it just wasn't her thing. She liked cheesecake, too.
Mm.
But she always had my dad on a diet. So anytime he came to our house, she was always suspicious, immediately suspicious. She would often say, "Can I smell your breath?"
Oh my gosh.
So instead of the guy coming home from the bar, it was my dad coming home from my house with cookie breath.
Right. That's like very sweet. It's very, yeah. very sweet.
Yeah.
I want to just remind listeners, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Kitchen Sink on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. I'm Lucy Gelman, and I'm here with Laura Hurwitz. We're actually sitting at her dining room table. This is pre-recorded, and it's probably the loveliest recording space I've ever been in.
Oh,
and it's
Lucy, thank
very
you.
Very cozy. But I want to get into the business itself, and I should say, I saw these cookies because I go to coffee a lot. I work on Audubon Street where the coffee shop coffee is. And so I saw that there were these cookies called Jake's Mom's Cookies. And in fact, I know many Jakes, but I also know your Jake, which I didn't realize until sort of the worlds came together.
That's right.
But we have met through mutual friends. And so it feels very much like this business already to me feels like a product of the world being very small in some ways.
I completely, I feel the same way. Like all those little degrees of separation, it all just like comes together. And especially this year seems full of overlaps and connections.
Yeah.
And I love that I'm starting the business at this kind of, you know, convergence of all these things.
Right. And so had it been sort of in the back of your mind for a while, "Oh, maybe I'll go somewhere with this, maybe I'll start a business," or have you always thought, "No, I really want to be like just a baker for friends and family"?
I think the latter. I think I just thought this was just something that I did more as a hobby and just something that I enjoyed doing. And when people said, you know, "Can you bring cookies to the house for, you know, this party?" I'd be like, "Sure." You know, I loved doing that. But I also started thinking a little bit about how it would be really interesting to start a business. I'm not really an entrepreneurial type, and I have a really hard time marketing myself. Like that I think has been the most challenging thing for me. I love baking, but actually going and selling things, I have been overcoming my phobia, but it is just something that has been a little bit of a challenge. So I was a little bit afraid to take this leap because I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to do the self-promotion and the cookie promotion.
Well, and I know that you have a support team.
I do. So, yeah.
So let's talk a little about your support team. So was it your son Jake who said, "Hey, let's do this. Like, let's, you know, moment, I guess, YOLO or memento mori or, you know, whatever you say, like, let's just do it."
That's totally what happened, because he heard me kind of hemming and hawing over the summer. And I was thinking, oh, should I go back to teaching? Oh, maybe I should start this cookie business. And he said, "Listen, why don't we test it? Let's see what happens. I'm going to promote it on my podcast, see how many orders you get. How many orders could you handle in a week?" And I told him that max, I could probably only handle 50. So he said, "Okay, see how long it takes you to get to 50. And it took 42 hours.
Wow.
So that's when I realized that I just had to do this.
Were the orders from anywhere, you know, from a small-ish batch of cookies up to, like, 50 cookies?
I've had people order, because I sell them by the dozen, and I've had people order 2 dozen.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I've also had people order subscription cookies,
wow.
So
yeah.
They come every month. But basically, I know I've got, like, holiday orders where I have, like, 36 orders for one person.
Right.
So I know that that is coming up. But I think for now, it's mostly people ordering cookies for their kids in college or for birthday presents for friends. I mean, that seems to be the usual order. And I put a card in with the cookies, if people want me to, you know, a little note, like if it's a happy birthday order, you know, people can write what they want and I enclose it with
and
the cookies.
I know that I read somewhere, so you have a beautiful slick website that I want to tell listeners about closer to the end of the show, but I know that I read some story on there about Jake's payment in cookies. Did I?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yeah,
like
it was.
He syndicates the business.
That, yeah, and I think it was Amir, and I forget his terminology, but he said, "We will, something, our remuneration." I mean, it was just like this highfalutin, like, financial speak.
Yeah, like business speak, yeah.
Yeah, and we want payment in cookies.
Oh my goodness.
And I have made 2 cookie payments so far.
Excellent.
And they are currently, they're filming a TV series, so right now they've been leaving me alone.
Right. they're in L.A.?
Yes, they're in L.A.
Yeah, he's in L.A., but his podcast sort of reaches a much bigger audience.
Yeah, and truly, a lot of the orders from the podcast announcement that Jake made, someone in Belgium,
right?
Someone in England, Australia. They have like an international,
right? Because he's toured internationally,
right?
And I know you were telling me that, like, that is almost impossible at this point. Sending them abroad just doesn't make sense.
It'd be like $40 to ship a dozen cookies, yeah. And it just doesn't make sense for anyone.
Yeah. Although it's so interesting, you know, one thing I've discovered is that at least in Europe, so in France, like, the French have a love affair with chocolate chip cookies, they cookie, but at the same time, like, no one knows how to make them, because getting things like baking powder and baking soda are hard, and, like, don't, like, the flour is a different consistency, so I almost wonder if
That is so interesting, because look at, what is the French macaron? Okay, those are French, right?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, those are, it's using a very high grade of flour, I believe,
and they're like, flour and egg white, because I think you whip the egg.
It's like a really kind of, like, complicated thing, and they're very expensive for little tiny...
Yeah, oh, I think they know how to do complicated things, and they just think cookies are really exciting.
You know, that's... I think I would love to be the gateway to chocolate chip cookies for the French people.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
So maybe a teaching workshop.
I think that would be good. In Paris would be fine.
Yeah, too shabby. Somewhere down the line. So Jake, you know, has opened this up to a bigger audience of people. And I know that you actually, at one point, you had to say, enough is enough. Like,
yeah.
Very early on.
Very early on. I took a break. I just said, okay, I'm going to fill the orders that I have. And then we took the break and we built the website.
Right.
And we did that work. I got my LLC put together with the help of my husband, Sam, who is just awesome, and he's just been great throughout this whole thing. But we wanted to like restart when everything was in order, mm-hmm. when we had the shipping materials and a different way of packaging that was more biodegradable and, you know, more eco-friendly. So yeah, we took a break. I think it was a 3-week break is what we took from the end of July to almost the end of August. And that's when I like started it up again.
Yeah. And the business end of things, because I know that starting a business is not easy. There's just so much red tape that you go through. And I think for food, that's particularly true.
Oh, yeah.
And so what were you hearing from people?
Well, I knew I had to use a commercial kitchen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, having, you know, Duncan from Coffee offer his kitchen up with cookies as rent was like the best thing in the world. One thing that I kind of forgot in the frenzy of starting everything up was labeling, like mm-hmm. actually ingredient labels. And I got an email from the state inspector
while
I was already, like, I had already started and I'm just going along thinking everything's cool. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. I have to do this. So we've done a label.
Right.
I don't have to do nutrition information. I think just it's the nature of the product.
Right.
It's not, you know, it has a shelf life. There's, for some reason I'm not obligated to do nutrition content, which I know is another whole step. I think down the line I think what you do is you give the cookies in, so they figure out the calorie count and
that's great. Yeah, I know Mubarak Ibrahim, who I've had on this show, does bean pies, and she has talked about how you have to, like, it's something like weighing different stuff out to figure out the order in which these ingredients come.
That's right.
And like stuff that you would never think about as a home baker.
That's exactly right. The state inspector said you have to list the ingredients according to weight.
Oh, wow.
And I could figure that out. Like, I know flour is mm-hmm. the heaviest of the ingredients. But then if you go and you think, okay, packed brown sugar and 2 sticks of margarine, what weighs more? I mean, you really do have to. We got a digital scale. So
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah, we did that so we could do it properly.
So let's actually talk about the kitchen space, because one thing that folks find when they start up food businesses, so Mubaraka, who I mentioned, who makes bean pies, and then also Netta Hadari, who has started an ice cream business in New Haven. You know, they said, well, of course it makes sense that I can't do this out of my home kitchen, but it would just be so much easier if I did it out of my home kitchen.
That's it. And I know Connecticut is maybe going to pass cottage baking laws. It's I think there are just some things that are stopping it from completely being passed, but I know it's like out there, it's written, and I think it has enough support that it will be passed, but right now it's not.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I've been hoping that it would be passed. California, for example, has a really good cottage baking law. You can make up to $50,000 worth of food from your home kitchen.
Holy cannoli.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think their only restriction, you can't have pets.
Yeah.
I think that's
and
it.
And do you?
No, I don't. I have had pets, and our dog sadly died a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And I've been wanting to replace her, but I think for now, I mean, you can see all the boxes and open cookies and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, we can't do it.
No, that makes sense. But I know that part of the transition, and I've experienced this even, you know, when you move from one apartment to another. So on a much smaller scale, your ovens are different. And all of a sudden, you have to totally change how you're baking something.
That is completely right. The commercial ovens, they operate much more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So the cookies that would take 10 minutes in my home oven, And I have a, I think it's like a commercial grade but residential oven, but with convection and everything. I mean, it's a pretty good oven. But there, my cookies take 5 minutes to make. And it's it makes your head spin because you put the racks in, and I flip mine, I turn mine around to, just because I worry about the heat being even. You really have to stand at the oven while the cookies are baking. You just stand there and look at the clock.
And there have been that some of the first batches were
terrible.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say some sad things happened.
I had one of those moments where it was a time crunch, and I was thinking, these are a little bit burned. Mm. Do I send them? And I didn't. I'm very happy with that decision. Yeah. But I remember at the time thinking, you know, I just shouldn't be in this business because I'm not doing this right.
But are you at a point now where, you know, where you can kind of look at them and say, that's done?
Totally.
Okay.
And that's like such a gift. And I even can like handle when I'm handling the dough. I know if the dough is right.
Oh, interesting.
Which, I mean, you know, just from measuring and stuff, you would think it would always be fairly consistent. But for some reason, I don't know if humidity plays a factor, mm-hmm. or it's not always completely consistent. And sometimes even when the mixer at coffee at their commercial kitchen, I know you saw it, Lucy, it was like massive.
It's huge. How many quarts is it?
I think it's 20 quarts.
It's huge, yeah.
And that's the smaller one. The other one you could take a bath in, think, if you were so inclined. But it's huge. And sometimes it just, there'll be a little part at the bottom that just somehow doesn't mix in 100%.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of have to go, you know, take it out, put it back in. I mean, right. But there's a consistency that you need to maintain. And you do recognize when you look at the dough that it's right.
And you've been working with Duncan Goodall, who is the founder and owner of Coffee.
Yeah.
And did you know him beforehand?
My daughter Sarah worked for him. She was doing the inventory and bookkeeping and stuff a couple of years ago. So she was friendly with him. And we ran into him on the street. And Sarah is very big on networking, and she's always, well, you know, you could ask this person, or, you know, I'm sure so-and-so would love to be helpful. And she knows just how generous a person Duncan is.
And I think very community-oriented.
Incredibly, incredibly. He's just like you, but you watch him walking around New Haven. He's one of the few people I know who walks around with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He's just a very grand, wonderful human being. And he was like, sure, this sounds fun. He was really happy to take it on.
So if listeners are just joining us, I want to remind them that this is Kitchen Sink on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. I'm Lucy Gelman, and I'm here with Laura Hurwitz. And as we wind down, one of the things I want to talk about is, so people can do subscriptions, but I know that you're also interested in broadening out this cookie subscription to include maybe cookies that aren't just chocolate chip.
That is exactly right. And the way I was going to do it is I'm going to get guest bakers.
I love that.
I think it will be so much fun because everyone has a story and everyone like has a favorite cookie, a cookie they do particularly well. And I could just get people's recipes and make them myself, but I just think it would be so much more fun to welcome other bakers into the kitchen and have them do their cookie of the month. And in January, a woman I know named Jane Licata, who is from Buffalo, New York, she makes the most amazing chocolate biscotti that has three different kinds of chips in it. There's white chocolate chip, a really dark chocolate chip, and some, I think maybe just semi-sweet chocolate chip. But her daughter has peanut allergies, so it's completely peanut-free. It will have absolutely no trace of peanuts anywhere. And that's something that I've gotten email questions about, whether the kitchen I use is peanut-free. And when Jane steps in, it will be peanut-free,
right.
And the cookies will be completely peanut-free. I want to do gluten-free cookie.
Right, this is something that we've talked about. So, yeah. So some people say, that's like, it's not my thing. Gluten-free is not my thing. Or, you know, I think gluten-free is fairly... It's getting to a point where it can be easier, although sometimes the price point is higher. But there are those, like Bob's Red Mill, those gluten-free flour mixes and stuff like that. But also, I know that vegan cookies are something that you are interested in trying.
I would really love to do that. If I could find something that really was a good substitute for eggs, I mean, that's the thing I'm... If anyone knows anything, write in. You know, I would love to know because I'm very interested in that. And I'm a vegetarian and I'm almost a vegan except for eggs.
Except for eggs, yeah.
I can't think of anything else. I don't.
And there are some things. I mean, I know. So have you experimented a little bit? Because I know, like, some people use banana, but that completely changes the flavor.
Banana, I've heard applesauce is another thing I have heard.
I've used applesauce for eggs, but I'm sure, again, that would change because for me as a home baker, like, that's completely fine. But I'm sure that once you're bringing it in and making the product for someone else, it's a little bit wonky. I know that also flax eggs, so it's like flaxseed in water can work for people.
Wow,
it
okay.
It has the same kind of, like, gloopy.
That viscosity
That's much better than gloopy.
I liked gloopy. I really did. Viscosity sounds like a science term. But, yeah, that kind of, you want that kind of texture to sort of make everything, you know, coalesce.
But so for you, what is the importance of having vegan cookies? So I know that there are vegans in your family, and that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think I've watched a lot of movies about the vegan movement and how to, you know, eat sustainably and, you know, also, I have a really hard time just with, you know, cruelty to animals. I don't know. It's something that I really struggled with, even as a young person. So for a long period of time, I was able to sort of disconnect, like, you know, the hamburger and the cow just seemed like two completely unrelated things. And now I don't do that. So I would love to make a cookie that is cruelty-free in every way. I really would. So, and that I feel like I could almost make as a consistent cookie. Like that would be something I would like to learn how to do. And I would like to add it to my very limited repertoire.
So as we wind down, how can people find you if they want to find you? Which they should want to find out.
Well, I would say go to jakesmomscookies.com, and that's my website, and that is one way of contacting me. Also, if you're ever out and about in New Haven, chances are I will be too at some point because I do a lot of walking around. I love the city. I just think New Haven has so much to offer. I am so happy that we moved here 7 years ago. It's a great place. So,
and do you like it as a foodie town? Because it's interesting. I don't think about it as a town for baked goods, but I do think about it as a foodie place.
Absolutely. And I love it for that. My all-time favorite place in New Haven is Delania.
Oh, wow. Which is like State and Clark Streets. Yeah.
Yep. Their pizza, it just like sets this bar for me. I just think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's so fresh and it's a great little spot. It really is.
And I'm always so curious when I talk to bakers or baristas or anyone who does like one thing really well, if they get sick of their own product. So do you eat chocolate? Like, do you eat your own chocolate
chip cookies? I do. I just had one this morning. There are three on a rack there, and those are sold in packages of four. Okay. So that tells you where that fourth one went. And I ate it like as a public service because it didn't have enough chips in it. So it was like, oh, you know what? It's not up to snuff. I'm gonna eat it. But I love the taste of it. Mm-hmm. I really do. I feel like it's just very pure. It's a little bit indulgent, but I don't know. I do love my cookies. I do. And I love the dough. I just really do like them.
And is there anywhere else in New Haven where you would go to get a cookie. So Delania, definitely pizza. I saw a mug. Oh, I'm actually holding.
Yes, and that is a place. Claire's. That is a place I would go. They have excellent baked goods. So they really do.
If oh my gosh, Claire Criscolo is listening. She I'm holding this wonderful mug with black tea for Claire's Cornucopia, and so that's a place you would go.
Absolutely, and I went there when it was just when I was in college. It was just this little corner, like I don't. There was like soft serve ice cream. It was not what it is now, but Claire makes a coffee cake. And I'm trying. Do you know
I've
which
heard
one?
People wax poetic about
it's
this
unbelievable.
Coffee. So it's a Lithuanian coffee.
It's
cake.
The Lithuanian coffee cake. I was eating dinner. We were with friends, and we had just been to Harvest, and we'd eaten like a 3-course meal, including dessert, and we were walking out, and my friend said, "Oh, I have to have some Lithuanian coffee cake from Claire's."
Oh, that's so funny.
And we both went in, and you know, it comes on a little plate, and we got it to go. We're like standing on the street eating
gosh.
This coffee cake. That is fabulous. Yeah.
So you and that you'll leave up to her. Sort of the cake side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about cakes I don't quite have them down. I feel like they don't rise reliably for me.
Yeah.
Cookies. They know me, I know them, I feel good about them.
Oh, excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on this show. Listeners, if you're interested, you can go to, it's jakesmomscookies.com.
Exactly.
One word. There is information about how to find the cookies, how to order the cookies. There isn't information, like advice on how to eat the cookies, but I assume, you know, just popping
pop them in your mouth. And I know Jake has a pro tip. That his little cookie method, it's put it in the microwave for 16 seconds.
Exactly 16.
Exactly 16. Okay. And I keep thinking, that's our microwave. So, but that's his pro tip. And then have it with a glass of cold milk.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So there you go.
Great. I wish our listeners lots of cookies and milk. this weekend and long beyond. Laura, thank you so much for coming on
Lucy,
the show.
This was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me.
Oh, yeah. And to our listeners, this has been Kitchen Sink on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. You can find us on Facebook or SoundCloud at WNHH Community Radio or on Twitter at WNHHLP. That's one word. Or you can find this podcast at Kitchen Sink with Lucy Gelman on iTunes, where it is and always will be free. Thanks, and as always, happy eating.